Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. On this Reformation Day, it's fitting for us to consider what makes a Lutheran, Lutheran. Now, if you asked some random passerby on the street that question, assuming he even knows what a Lutheran is, his answer might sound a bit like Garrison Keillor's humorous caricature of Lutherans. German or Scandinavian, green jello, bratwurst, potato salad, generally modest, reserved, not outgoing, certainly reluctant to change, you know all the rest. Now maybe there's a grain of truth to that description, I don't know. Unfortunately, however, I think a lot of Lutherans have bought into that caricature. We've heard that Lutherans are shy and reserved, that we don't like change. And frankly, Lutherans didn't like that assessment. And so they just had to do something about it. They had to prove all the naysayers wrong. If Lutherans are going to be accepted in this day and age, then we can't be what everyone thinks we are, or so they say. And so, rather than being afraid of change, the 20th and 21st centuries brought sweeping changes to the churches that call themselves Lutheran. Changes that were not received reluctantly, but rather with open arms. These changes took the teachings of our forefathers in the faith and handed it over in exchange for what? The world's acceptance? A few more people in the pews? A few more dollars in the offering plate? Some Lutherans decided that rather than being reserved, they would open their arms and embrace in full fellowship everyone they possibly could, regardless of major differences in belief. They decided that rather than being stodgy, they would set aside the Word of God itself in order to accept and promote every modern, culturally acceptable view, including evolution, abortion, women pastors, and homosexual marriage. You know, this includes denominations such as the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and still other Lutheran churches worldwide. Still other Lutherans, including some in our own Missouri Synod, rejected the notion that Lutherans are old-fashioned or out of tune with their culture by exchanging their historic traditional Lutheran worship for a worship that would emphasize our emotions over Christ's work, our sacrifice of ourselves over Christ's sacrifice on the cross, entertainment over holiness. Lest they come across as self-righteous or arrogant, some congregations have backed away from the scriptural teaching and practice of the Lord's Supper. That means closed communion. Lest we embarrass or offend others, we would downplay our Lutheranism. But the problem with this, the problem with all these efforts to define Lutheranism, whether it's as a mere cultural thing, or an embrace of every progressive cause, or a church that's hardly distinguishable from any other, the problem is that it's all centered on me, on man. Rather than defining ourselves by the pure teaching of Scripture, man would be the one to define Lutheranism. Human beings would decide what practices and teachings are acceptable, not God, not His Word. And so men are quick to speak a word that would be acceptable in the ears of the world, but also avoiding the Word of Christ that might be offensive or controversial. And so, we would build the church on our own works, our own character, our bloodlines, our tolerance, our creativity, our works. But when that happens, then the church is not built on the rock, Jesus Christ, and His death for sinners. And if man, any man, is the foundation for the church, that church will inevitably crumble. It will fall away like a house that is built on sand. We've seen it already in the churches throughout history that have turned away from Jesus and His Word to their own words and works and ideas. It happened in Jerusalem. It happened in the Middle East. It happened in Rome. It happened in Germany and in Europe. Now we can start to see it happening here in America, even in our own congregations. Once faithful churches turn away from Christ to their own works and ideas, then their mouths are stopped. bound under the law which demands and ultimately condemns. And so on this Reformation Day, rather than defining for ourselves what Lutherans should or should not be, let us instead hear the voice of the Lord of the Church, Jesus Christ. How would he define us? In Jesus' eyes, what characterizes the life of a Lutheran, that is, the life of a Christian? The answer is very simple. We can say it in one word. Justification. Justification. On October 31st, 1517, 502 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg. And the first thesis reads as follows: Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when he said, "Repent," willed for the whole life of believers to be one of repentance. Now, this is a reference to Jesus' preaching as recorded in the Gospels. For example, in Mark chapter 1, we find Jesus preaching, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is what Martin Luther was referring to when he said, "Jesus said, repent." This was Christ's sermon to his hearers long ago. It is Christ's sermon to us today. This is how Christ would define our Lutheran life. This is how Christ defines the lives of all believers of all times and places. Our whole lives as Christians are to be ones of repentance and faith in the gospel. But what is the gospel? St. Paul defines it quite clearly for us in our epistle today. He says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. All are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. One is justified by faith apart from works of the law." Jesus says, believe in the gospel, and the gospel is this: God has justified you, that is, declared you to be righteous through faith, as a gift, not by your good works, but by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, who died in your place, who paid the price for all of your sins, sins committed against God himself. This is justification, that crucial doctrine for us Lutherans, the doctrine on which the whole Christian church stands and falls, the doctrine that defines us over and against all other confessions. Sometimes we describe it by what are called the solas, that is, the alones in Latin. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. We might ask the good Lutheran question, what does this mean? And the answer is, we are saved. That is, we are rescued from death and sin and hell when God looks at us graciously. And he declares us to be righteous for the sake of Jesus' holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death on the cross. This salvation we receive not through our good works or efforts, but only through faith, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is justification. This is the gospel. And from this flows out all other Lutheran distinctives. Our emphasis on Scripture alone, that is, that the church is taught by the Bible and not by the opinions or traditions of men. Salvation by the work of God alone, that is, that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, but the Holy Spirit calls me to faith. The theology of the cross, that is, that we Christians follow Jesus in suffering and bearing our crosses, not in living lives of comfort or wealth or glory. The means of grace, that Christ only comes to us through the means that he instituted, that is, the Word and the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. Lutheran worship, that is, we worship God first and foremost by receiving Christ's gift of forgiveness, and then and only then responding with our own gifts. Vocation, that is, Christ has called us to love and to serve our neighbor, to do good works in our homes, our schools, our businesses, and our neighborhoods. We could go on and on all day. This is just a sample of what makes us Lutheran, all of which flows out of that doctrine of justification. And there's no better way to be Lutheran, there's no better way to live than by this doctrine. As great as it might be, to be Lutheran doesn't mean to be European or to have potlucks or to be nice. It means to be justified, to be counted righteous, not because you've done enough good works or said enough prayers to make up for all those sins against God, but again, to be counted righteous through faith in Jesus Christ, to be justified by faith apart from works of the law, to be justified by God's grace as a gift. By God's grace, yes, we are Lutheran. That doesn't mean we worship Martin Luther. We worship Jesus Christ. We should not be self-righteous or arrogant. We should live in daily repentance and faith in the gospel. We should confess our Lutheran doctrine boldly, and yet we should be humble, because it does not come from ourselves. We didn't craft it. It is the gift of God. By God's grace and grace alone, we will remain Lutheran, come hell or high water. And make no mistake, hell will certainly come. After all, we live in a sinful, fallen world. Just moments ago, we all sang together that devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us. This isn't just vivid imagery on Martin Luther's part. It's not poetic license. As the apostles taught, and as Luther recognized, we are on a battlefield. We are facing against Satan, his demons, his allies, the world, even our own sinful flesh. Enemies are out there, working through what we would see, read, hear, think, even feel, deceiving us and misleading us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And the goal of these devils is to steal away your hope, to steal away your comfort, the gospel, the doctrine of justification. Indeed, they desire nothing more than for you to look away from Jesus Christ, to turn away from his sufferings on the cross, back to yourself, back to your good works, back to your efforts. Yes, for you to stop trusting in Jesus alone for salvation, and to start thinking about what you need to do. But as we continued to sing, "We tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. For us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever." And this field he holds forever because he has already won the battle. The victory has been won. By shedding his precious blood on the cross, Jesus conquered hell, so that when hell should come, it can harm you none. Jesus promised Peter in Matthew chapter 16 that the gates of hell would not overcome the church. Because you belong to Christ, because you are the church, those gates of hell shall not overcome you either. In our epistle again today, Romans chapter 3, St. Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Paul here speaks in universal terms. Everybody, all, none, no human being. Meaning that everyone who has ever lived is a sinner. Everyone who ever lived has sinned. And that certainly includes us Lutherans. We are sinners. We have sinned. But the difference between us and the unbelieving world is that we admit it. We don't try to cover up our sinfulness with our good works. We do not try to cover up our sinfulness with our successes. We certainly don't make excuses for our sins. Instead, we come into God's holy house and confess before him and one another that we are indeed poor, miserable sinners, that we have committed many sins and iniquities, that we justly deserve God's temporal and eternal punishment. This is the first part of confession. But then we receive absolution, that is forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. You see, where the law would speak its firm condemnation, the gospel speaks yet more firmly the grace and mercy of God toward you. Indeed, the gospel has the last word. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. Why does the gospel get the final word? Well, it's one little word, Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior from the righteous condemnation of the law, that is death and hell. We are justified by God's grace as a free gift. The wages of sin is death. But those wages were not paid by you. They've been paid by Christ as he hanged on the cross for you. And so instead of wages for sin, you are given a free gift of God, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where the law speaks to condemn you, Christ speaks to justify you. The law says none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. But Jesus says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I forgive you all your sins. Jesus says, take, eat, take, drink. This is my body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. If because of Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So again, on this Reformation Day, we ask, what makes a Lutheran Lutheran? In the end, it is this, and only this, the gospel, the doctrine of justification. This good news is the heart of the Reformation. More than that, it is the heart of every Christian and every true Christian congregation of every time and every place all around the world. For the gospel is the power of God for salvation, and there is no other message in heaven or on earth that has the power to save than this good news. Your sins are entirely forgiven by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, who died and rose again for you. This is most certainly true. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.